stop, rides, refreshments, and recreation with your hosts, Michaela and Rachel. Please stand clear of the doors.
Ow, my arm!
Welcome to a new edition of Theme Parks and Rec. I'm Rachel here with Michaela.
Hello.
And we are so excited to be joined by our guest, Winston McDaniel. He is the marketing manager for Screamageddon.
Ooh. Hello, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Very excited now that the haunt season is officially upon us and we are scaring people every weekend now.
Yeah. Every day. Is it every day or every weekend through November 1st?
Actually, starting on Thursday, October 1st, we're open every single day.
Wow.
November 1st. So it's a lot of screams, a lot of scaring. That's exactly what we love to do.
And all the information for Screamageddon, you can find at screamageddon.com. This is happening in Dade City. All right, Winston. So what is Screamageddon and what can guests expect this year from this fun and what, by the website, looks like terrifying event?
Yeah, fun and terrifying is definitely the way that I would put it. It's funny how we use so many like weird adjectives that are a good thing within the haunted house industry, like disgusting, terrible, terrifying. Those are all good adjectives for us, right?
Right.
But Screamageddon is a haunted house horror park, like as you said, located in Dade City, Florida. It's a little bit north of Tampa. And this year we have six attractions for guests to basically experience, five haunted houses and one zombie paintball assault, which is a kind of you ride through the woods on a zombie on a school bus and shoot zombies with paintball guns, which is really fun for anybody. Even if you don't like being scared, is like definitely go on that, shoot some zombies, have a good time. And then we have five haunted attractions, haunted houses, full haunted houses that you get to walk through. There are mazes, there are walks through the woods. There are all sorts of stuff. And two of the houses are even what we call interactive, in which they let you kind of be part of the story. Like most haunted houses you walk through, it's kind of passive. Like people are jumping at you and scaring you. You're like, oh no, but you kind of keep going down a pathway. And our interactive houses, the monsters and actors will come out to you and be like, no, you come with me. And they'll pull you away from your group. In past years, they would physically move you. Like they'd grab you by your shoulders and move you and throw you in a jail cell or something like that. This year with COVID and trying to keep things a little more sanitary and safe, we have found other ways to move you away from your group, to get you alone with the actors and all that kind of stuff, to do all sorts of things that I leave up to the actors inside the houses. And then lastly, there is a Monster Midway and Craft Beer Garden inside the middle of the park. So basically in between all of the haunted houses, you can grab a craft local beer, get some really delicious carnival food, and have a good time and relax. And we have like monsters and characters that walk around and you can take pictures with them and all that kind of stuff.
That sounds amazing. So yeah. You kind of alluded to how there are some changes this year due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Can you explain some other changes maybe that this event has gone through to make sure everybody's safe and stays healthy?
Yeah, that was obviously like a major factor in planning this year's event because we 100% wanted to open, but we wanted to do it in a safe way. So first and foremost, every guest that comes to the park before they even get pretty much close to the front gate has to go through a temperature check. So anybody over 100.4 degrees will be asked to leave. I'm told there's like, you know, some people think it warm walking from the car to the guests. We'll have them take it a second time, but if two times they go through, it's too much, we ask them to leave. And that also goes for our staff. So if we have a staff member who comes and they take the temperature check and they don't pass, they'll be sent home for the night. And then, you know, whatever quarantine they need to do, they'll do from that point on. Our park sits on like 20 acres of land. So there's like ample room for social distancing. We've changed the midway around to space out the seating, to space out everything. So everything's a little bit more spread out than in past years. Inside the queue lines for the haunted attractions, there's social distancing. We are requiring everybody, staff and guests to wear a mask or a face covering. That's despite kind of moving into this phase three that happened last week. We're still like, you know what? We're still doing the masks. So they're still very much a requirement. We're operating at a 50% capacity still because we want to make sure there's a ton of room so people can feel safe and not feel super cramped in. Because while haunted houses in the past have been known to be, you know, cramped and small, we wanted to basically elongate that as much as we can. Something kind of fun that we did is we gave all of our actors basically these character masks. I don't know if you can kind of see on the screen.
Oh,
they kind of fit whatever you know, role that they are. Like, this one is for our new haunted house, Ravenhill Asylum. And, you know, we obviously have a clown house, so we give them clown masks also. So we just thought that'd be a good way to not break the immersion, where it's like, you know, a guest may see like, oh, they're being safe, but that clown looks terrifying because he's got a terrifying clown mask on and he's chasing me around with a knife. Like, we can do both things here, you know?
That looks amazing, honestly.
Sorry?
I said that looks amazing, especially with the theming. It just really dives into it.
Yeah, when they said we were going to do that, I thought that was, wow, what a great idea. Like, sure, it's going to cost a little bit more money to kind of create these masks, but it's like, no, that's totally worth it to kind of, because we, like, we're really big on immersion because, like I said, two of our houses are interactive. So we like to keep people immersed in the story of the haunted house that they're going through. Those masks do a good job of keeping them safe, but keeping the immersion there. Lastly, we have staff members who are solely dedicated to sanitation. They pretty much walk over to and disinfect and clean kind of like high traffic areas. And at the end of the night, the entire park goes through a disinfecting fogging. So we can, that gets like all of like the little nooks and crannies of the haunted houses in the Midway that are maybe hard to get during the actual event happening, where, you know, a sanitation person can't get below a desk where an actor is on top of being cut open or something like that, you know, like, that's a little bit hard to do during the show. So we do that afterwards with the fogging.
Yeah, we have to sanitize under the desk where the actor's being cut open. It's so funny to hear you say that.
it's funny how, like I said, how much that type of terminology is like normal for me now. Like,
exactly.
I always say that my Google search history for like all the work that I do for this park is super strange. You know, it's like super scary, bloody clown. And like, that's normal, you know, like, yeah. I'm friends with killer clowns. It's strange, but it's fun.
We're speaking to Winston McDaniel, marketing manager for Screamageddon. All right. So without giving too much away, How scary is it? Cause I'm a big scaredy cat and I'm already like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. It is, you know, obviously, you know, bias aside, I think it's an incredibly terrifying experience. I went to Screamageddon before I ended up working for the company, just as I'm a fan of these events, and going through, it's so much more intimate. Like, there are larger parks throughout the state and the country that, you know, due to their size, they have to send people through in a large Congo line, which is, you know, we understand that that's part of their business, right? But we can afford to send you when just the group you came with. So maybe it's just you and your sniffing other, maybe you and your family. And when the whole house is set up waiting for you, you get all of the scares, you get all of the attention. And it feels like you against a whole house full of creepy monsters and clowns, all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot more intimate. It's very intense. We have one house, my favorite one, called Demon's Revenge. I always call it unrelenting. There's just always stuff coming at you from all different angles. It plays with darkness in a great way. I think really good haunted houses use darkness in a way that's effective, because pretty much everybody's a little bit nervous in the dark. So when we take out the lights from people, that's when they really get freaked out. So yeah, there's that. But then I also like to say that our new house this year, Ravenhill Asylum, while it's terrifying, it also blends in some comedy into it. A lot of the actors there have some kind of funny lines to kind of break up just the unrelenting popping out and jump scares. They'll throw you a funny line. They'll have you do a weird dance if you do one of the interactive options, all that kind of stuff. So that one's a good mix of kind of like just all sorts of fun stuff.
It looks like so much fun. Honestly, with the Raven Asylum, is that one of the more interactive ones?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, our two interactive houses are Ravenhill Asylum and Blackpool Prison.
Okay. I did hear from a friend who got to go visit it during like the media event, and he said he had a wonderful time, I have to say. And he said the Ravenhill Asylum was his favorite because they were just interacting with him and guided him through. And there was this one scare actor that was like following him the whole time. So I was like, this is fun. It's not just one single scare and then you move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of kind of sending people in groups is that actors, if they find that they're interacting well with one of the guests and the guest is having a good time screaming or whatever, or, you know, our actors know when someone's kind of into it and they'll follow them through because they're like, cool. And that kind of it adds to their experience that they have inside the house that kind of leads to all these really great stories. Like, I've been through the interactive houses so many times and I go through with friends, and each time it's something new happening because it's like, you may get this certain scare, you may get pulled away for this scare while you miss out on that other one. So there's, you know, there's replayability of kind of going through the houses.
Well, that's really cool. And I had another question about the zombie paintball assault.
Yeah.
So are those actual actual zombies in there? Like, that's not just like cardboard cutouts.
Nope. Yeah. We have some dedicated actors that don some zombie outfits and, you know, get to, they love their job doing. They put so much crate into it, and they basically, you'll be going through, it's kind of like this large kind of outdoor trail, and you'll go through different sectors and shoot live zombies with paintball guns. And it's a lot of fun. That one's really funny. There's a lot of comedy in it. The zombies have done a lot of funny stuff out there that I won't give away. And it's very much kind of like, instead of you being attacked all the time, you get to kind of dish it back out to them. It's a nice little give and take there.
I love that. So if you're too scared in the houses, you come back out and be like, you know what? I'm going to use this paintball gun.
Exactly.
I think this is the ideal place for something like this, that you have Screamageddon going on in the middle of Dade City. Mm-hmm. It's like in the middle of nowhere, right? It's like,
exactly.
It's like the ultimate haunted place. Yeah. Like, you see one gas station and one stoplight in the whole town or something.
Yeah. It's something that I actually love about it. Like, you know, like, again, like the immersion of it, like when you're driving to our facility, there's like a good long stretch of road where there's like nothing. You're like, okay, where am I going right now? It feels like you're kind of driving into a horror movie. And then you kind of pull around the corner, and there's our massive facade at the entrance that is just like this creepy clown there with his hands out to get you. It's like, it's, you know, we designed it that way, but it's like, it's very much builds into that immersion of like being scared in the middle of the woods that we just love.
I love how different and exciting and terrifying it all is. How did you guys get the idea of Screamageddon? Do you know like the history of it?
Yeah. So the kind of the brief history of it, it's a, you know, there's a big long history that the kind of the creative minds behind it just ended up, they kind of grew up loving haunted houses. I was a similar way. When in high school, I made my own haunted house, kind of like at our like kind of like student store. So like, there's like a passion for haunted housing and haunting in general that we just said, all right, let's just make it, let's make our own park and let's do it big. And we've been expanding year after year. And because, you know, there are some really big haunts in Florida. So we wanted to kind of compete with the big guys as much as we can. And with, so that, therefore doubling down on like the terror, doubling down on the scares, and which then leads to fun because people come to these things to get scared and then laugh and have a good time on their way out.
That's amazing. It's the origin of people who just love haunted houses, and that, yeah. I just feel like they and that, put the love into
down,
it.
That trickles down into like the actors. Like, we have the actors who come back year after year after year and do the same role. They're like, this is like my family that I love to act with, and I love to be these characters for, you know, a month and a half or whatever. And so it's really just like, you know, you talk to a lot of different people in the haunted house industry. It's very similar. They just love the art of scaring people, who thought it would be an art, but it totally is.
Well, that's amazing, and I'm so glad it's back this year. Yeah. That's so awesome.
So, Winston, can you tell us about the different ticket options that guests can choose from?
Yeah, so, you know, we have our, you know, bread and butter general admissions ticket, which you can purchase, you know, for any night of the week. Then we have the VIP Fast Pass ticket, which, unlike other haunts, that VIP Fast Pass ticket includes your general admission. So you don't have to buy a VIP and a general admissions. So it's kind of like a bundle. And that gets you into the VIP lines. It cuts down the wait times a lot, and especially in the October month during, you know, the middle of the month. Everybody's like, all right, let's go get scared. We highly recommend those VIP tickets for the haunt for October. And then our biggest ticket is a super VIP, in which you get a staff guy who takes you through the exit line to the front of the house. There's no waiting. It's, you know, you get to get in there instantly. It's a lot of fun. So definitely recommend that if, you know, if that's something you're looking into.
I love that option. Sorry, I just had to say, because I feel like a lot of the intense stuff is like you're waiting in line to get in there, but you're just like cutting that part out and just going right in.
Going right in. So, you know, I see it both ways. It cuts down on the tension of you kind of waiting there and hearing the people screaming on the inside and the music and all that kind of stuff. Or it's like, no, you just go right in. There's no waiting. No time to second guess yourself. Next, first thing you know, you're walking through the door. Once you're in, you know? And then the zombie paintball assault has three tiers of tickets that pretty much denote how much paintballs you receive while you're on your journey to end zombies. So those are the ticket options that we have.
And tickets are available online at screamageddon.com. And I also noticed that they may be a little cheaper online. Is that correct?
Yes. Online, they're $5 cheaper than at the box office. So we definitely, especially this year, since we are operating at 50% capacity, buy our tickets online ahead of time, save some cash, and then kind of get your spot in line, essentially, because we will sell out, especially in the October month. And so you want, if you get your ticket, you're good to go. It won't be like once you get your ticket, you show up and then you won't be let in. But we, our tickets will stop selling for a certain night and they will be sold out.
So if we've learned anything from 2020, it's all about planning ahead.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Winston, thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait to hear about all of the fun scares that people experience at Screamageddon this October.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, so we were so excited to speak with our guests from Screamageddon, but we still have a bunch of updates that we want to get to around the theme park world. And there is a new new roller coaster coming to Central Florida, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Look at my shirt.
Ooh, Jurassic. Ooh.
That is the hint.
It's about dinosaurs. Mmm. Okay. Very nice. Okay. I like the tease.
I'm sorry. I was like, I had to.
You dressed for the occasion. I'm still in Tampa Bay Lightning gear, and I'll probably will be for the next 3 weeks, because if you don't know, the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup, and I'm a big fan.
You know, I thought you were going to say for the next year.
Probably for the next year.
Until the next Stanley Cup is given, well, the next team wins, and hopefully it'll be the Tampa Bay Lightning again. Who knows?
Yes. So little detour there, but let's talk Disney World.
Walt Disney World. Reservations still required, but the big bulk of the news today is happy 49th anniversary to Magic Kingdom. How exciting. And it is Epcot's anniversary too.
Oh.
But they didn't open the same year.
Oh, okay.
They just opened the same day, different years. Anyway, so 1 year from today of the recording, of our recording, our podcast, October 1st, 2020, 1 year from today is going to be the 50th anniversary.
Wow.
And they still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there's so much to do in so little time. Thanks, 2020. Absolutely.
I know. They had so many ideas that they shared at D23 last year, and then a lot of those, not a lot of those, but some of those have been cut.
Yeah.
But some of them are still happening. So we're really excited. And I'm not sure if you remember any of the announcements, Rachel, but if you could think of anything that was announced for the 50th or anything your favorite, I could share one of my favorites, that Space 220 restaurant that's coming to Epcot.
Yeah.
I am so excited for that. And apparently the sign has been put up, and apparently it's all done. I don't think there's an outside facade to it.
Okay.
I think it's just next to Mission Space.
Okay.
And another big thing coming to Epcot that is pretty much done too is the Ratatouille ride.
I know. I can't wait.
I know. It's so exciting. There's so many things coming to Walt Disney World.
I know.
In 1 year span.
I can't wait for the Tron ride.
Oh,
I'm so excited for that. And you just mentioned D23, and I kind of wanted to mention, because I don't know if you have it in here or not.
I don't, because I'm so sad about it.
But the D23 Expo for 2021 has officially been moved to September 2022. And the Walt Disney Company expects to announce the 100th anniversary celebration plans at that expo. So pushing it back a year. You're still going to have it. And hopefully we'll be all done with this pandemic stuff.
I hope so. That'd be hopefully 2 years away.
So just heads up, if you're making plans to go in 2021, they've moved it to September.
Me.
I know. I kind of want to go. I'm going to be the third wheel with you and Dominic, I think, in 2022 now.
Hey, you know, we have some friends that we saw last year, and we had each of our own trips. We ended up hanging out the whole time, and it just made it that much more fun.
Yeah.
Because also, I highly recommend going with friends, just because while you are, okay, so rewind. You all have to go together to wait in line for the big panels, the ones where you get to see like all the Avengers and all. Yeah. I'm like smiling. It's so great.
Yeah.
Like all of it. The big ones in the big convention room. But once you get your place in line and you get your wristband, you could go out into the show floor and start shopping. So when you have friends that go with you, you could take turns going onto the show floor and going to shop and look around and see
divide and conquer.
That are going. Yes, it's so wonderful. So I highly recommend going with friends. It is great just to go by yourself or with one other person, but it definitely adds to the fun if you could like make friends there or have friends go with you. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about it later.
I just want to tell people if they wanted to go.
Yeah.
A lot of great announcements there.
Okay. Back to the Walt Disney World Park. Halloween is happening at each park. Magic Kingdom, they've got the specialty food, merchandise, cavalcades, and decor, which you checked out a couple weeks ago, or was it 2 weeks ago now? I can't even remember. But I think we talked about it on last week's show. Epcot, they have specialty food and merchandise. Animal Kingdom, specialty food and merchandise. And Hollywood Studios, specialty food, merchandise, and character dining. Socially distanced, of course, and you can reserve that online. So lots to do there. And then you talked about the walk-up option for restaurants.
Yes, so now it is definitely an option. Before it was like fading in and out, as in they offered it, didn't. Anyway, how it works is that if you have the app, the Disney World app, you could make sure you have your My Disney Experience logged in. And then when you're going in to look like you're reserving a restaurant time, instead of picking a time or lunch, dinner, or breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you press the now option and it'll show you the list of restaurants that have availability for a walk-up, and you could join the walk-up right on the app. I think it's wonderful because some restaurants that you think that are all booked out, it says, oh, it's a 5-minute wait. Or another thing, if there's no reservations for it and you're really hoping for it, you could wait and see there. And sometimes it's like, oh, an hour wait. And you're like, oh, I could go ride a ride and then come back and I could go eat. So Smart. It's nice and convenient.
Love it. All right, let's go up I-4 a little bit for SeaWorld. You want to tackle SeaWorld for us, Michaela?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very similar to weeks past that we've talked about, that the Craft Beer Festival is still going on now until November 1st. And that's 1 month. Wow, I can't believe we're in October. And then there was a name change for the Flicks and Fireworks. It's now Flicks and Frights. Each car is $40 plus tax. So safely fill up your car, safely, we're talking seatbelts here. And then the drive, it includes your drive-in movie. So you could see whatever movie they're doing each weekend. And you could also access the food trucks where you could purchase food and drink to bring back to your car.
Awesome.
And this weekend, Saturday, October 3rd at 7:45 p.m. is Frank and Weenie. They're only having one movie this week.
Okay.
They're not doing one on Friday night.
Okay.
And then also Halloween Spooktacular is going on. That one is a SeaWorld ticket. So if you have the annual pass, if you or have a single day admission, that's what brings you into that. And the Flicks and Frights are its own thing.
Okay.
The Halloween Spooktacular is going on now until October 1st. They have the Halloween maze, trick-or-treating around the park, cookie decorating with the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. And something else I wanted to say about SeaWorld is that you can eat free during your visit now through October 4th if you buy a single day admission.
Okay.
So if you end up going this weekend, you could redeem a free all day dining. But again, it's not offered to like the annual pass holders or the fun card folks. It is just strictly for people who have a single day admission that they bought to go in that one time.
Cool. So check out the SeaWorld website for all the information on all of that. Busch Gardens reservations are needed. This is Busch Gardens Tampa Bay. Hallow Scream is returning this weekend with select nights September 25th through November 1st. We spoke to our friend Rebecca on a previous episode from the PR department at Busch Gardens, and she kind of went down all of that. So if you want to hear that episode and hear all about it, go back and listen to that one. But there are no haunted houses this year, but they will have 10 open air scare zones. It looks like it's going to be pretty crazy. I've seen some social media posts.
Yes, I did see that. And I actually saw a friend actually went and they hide in bushes.
Ooh.
So
you never know where they're going to be.
I know.
And it's all socially distanced, of course. So if you want more information on Hallow Scream, that is a separate ticketed event. Go to Busch Gardens website for more information. And then for the kids, Sesame Street weekends are going on with contact-free trick-or-treating, the Count's not-too-spooky Halloween radio show, which is awesome, and cookie decorating with Cookie Monster and character photos. So super fun stuff going on at Busch Gardens Tampa Bay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
With both of the parks, SeaWorld and Busch Gardens, since they're sister parks owned by the same company, we've talked about this before, they have the veterans free single day admission plus three of their guests through November 11th. So definitely get on that. But they now have this new thing with the fun card. You could buy the 2021 fun card already, and it gives you admission for the 2020 for free, the rest of 2020.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So that's a big deal, because there is 3 months left in 2020 and then all 12 months in 2021. That's a lot of time.
That's a nice deal.
But you have to pick between SeaWorld and Busch Gardens. You can't just like go to both.
That or you sense. Can buy, you buy two fun cards, one for SeaWorld, one for Busch Gardens. Got it. That's but a great deal.
Yeah. The difference between that and an annual pass is that you have to pay for parking each time. And blackout dates do apply. But a fun tip is to have one person in your party. Let's say you have a family of four. One person in your party buy the annual pass. And the rest of you get the fun card. And then you get free parking. Guys, smart. Just think about it.
Smart, smart, smart. All right, Universal Orlando, they still are not on a reservations policy. You just got to get there early so that you can make sure you get in. And they have pass holder appreciation days, which are extended now through October 31st. And their mini Halloween Horror Nights is returning. It was last weekend, and it's October 3rd now for this weekend through November 1st. And they've got two haunted houses. The Bride of Frankenstein Lives, which you went through last week, and we talked about that. So if you want to go back and listen to that podcast, you can hear all about it. And then Revenge of the Tooth Fairy, which you were saying you've heard is scarier than the Frankenstein one.
Right. That's what I heard.
Okay. And family-friendly trick-or-treating going on at Islands of Adventure as well.
And like we talked about before, I mean, you can listen back. They also have that scarecrow stalk.
Yes. That's so fun.
So yeah. Just listen back to that one if you want to learn more about what's going on at Universal.
All right, Michaela, I'm going to let you take this next part for Universal Orlando because you dressed for the occasion.
I did. I'm so excited. It's something that's been all over social media. And if you go to the parks, you've seen it out in the open and nothing has been said about it until now. So Universal Orlando has proudly announced that they are bringing the Jurassic World Velocicoaster to Islands of Adventure. I'm so excited. I love Jurassic World. Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
So good. They're good. I hope Chris Pratt makes an appearance.
Oh, yes. Chris Pratt can make an appearance whenever he wants.
Yes. Yeah, so that movie is finally getting a attraction at the theme park. Here That's in Orlando, awesome. They already have one, not a roller coaster, but the water ride that they have here. They have one at Hollywood, but they changed that to Jurassic World. So now we're wondering, are they going to change our water one? I can't even think of the name of it. The one that has the big drop.
Yeah.
To a Jurassic World one.
Hmm.
It's called River Adventure. That's what it's called. River Adventure.
Okay.
I wonder if they'll change that. Anyway, so back to the big announcement, Velocicoaster. So on their website, they said, this is how they're teasing it, board your vehicle for a high-speed dash to the park's Raptor Paddock. So if you've seen the movie, that's where the raptors are kept.
Yeah.
You'll feel the rush of the hunt as you race alongside these nimble predators twisting and soaring above the land and water. So it's going to be so exciting. And I wonder if they're going to have animatronics and all that fun stuff. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But we have to wait a little while because it's not coming until summer 2021. So
which
we have a while to go.
It's not too far away. We've only got 3 more months in 2020. Thank goodness. So lots to look forward to in 2021. And the teaser trailer is out now on Universal Orlando's website. So if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. It's awesome. So we will be looking forward to that opening.
Oh, yeah. I'm just hoping because I got the annual pass this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Summer.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's open.
Yeah.
Before my passes expire, we'll see. Maybe I'll have to re-up.
I love the dueling theme parks because there is a long time in Florida, in Central Florida, where like the theme parks, you know, I'd say before Harry Potter, there would be a couple new attractions, but it wasn't all the time. And now I feel like we're getting like one or two new attractions at some theme park in this area every year, at least maybe twice a year. So it's kind of exciting, the dueling theme parks, because it's really beneficial to the theme park visitors because they're all trying to outdo themselves. And that means more cool stuff for us to do. So
yes,
it's awesome.
So excited.
All right. So let's talk about our new feature on the show that we're doing. We're talking about charities and organizations that are helping people during this crazy, crazy, crazy year. And this week we're going to feature the cast member pantry. You want to talk about it, Michaela?
Yes. So it's made from cast members, helping cast members. And I thought it was a good one because there's a lot of word going around right now that there's cast members and team members and all other employees from other theme parks that are getting laid off. Like they're getting fired, not furloughed. They're getting fired. Mm-hmm. And although there is government help, that stuff does run out.
Yeah.
And there's great opportunities for like something like this, like an organization to help cast members to provide food for the families during this really difficult time. Something mm-hmm. that we take for granted sometimes that we go into our kitchen and make a sandwich.
Yeah.
Where some people are not able to. So it's called the Cast Member Pantry and you can visit them at castmemberpantry.com. It brings you to a Facebook group, so don't get alarmed, but it is credible. They also have an Instagram page. They are providing groceries to cast members that have been affected by furloughs and layoffs. And if you have the opportunity, if you could help others during this time, especially if you're a big theme park goer and you know what, a cast member really made your day and that cast member might actually be on that list that got cut from the parks, putting that extra effort to help others, I think is wonderful. What they're asking for is donations through their Venmo, or if you feel more comfortable, you could donate by buying something off their Amazon wish list.
Cool.
Okay. And it's all on that Facebook group. Plus, if you are a cast member and you're hearing this and you are furloughed or if you've been recently laid off, please reach out to them. It's castmemberpantry@gmail.com. And when you email them, they will send back an auto return email explaining what you need to know to be able to get food to bring back to your home.
I love this. This is awesome. So.
I loved it.
It's open to anybody who is a theme park worker that has been laid off, correct?
I believe it's just Walt Disney Company layoffs.
Okay.
But I am going to do more research. The reason why I found this is that someone that I'm friends with on Instagram sent it to me.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And just so everyone's aware, this is actually real news here. This is from Josh D'Amaro from the Walt Disney Company. He is in charge of all theme parks in all the whole world for Walt Disney World. And at Walt Disney World, for the parks, they laid off 28,000 people this week.
Oh,
that's
man.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to focus on this week, because there are still layoffs, and it's not like this is more important than the other theme parks. But definitely listen back to our other episodes if you want to hear about other – the last two episodes we talked about how you could help out in the Central Florida, Tampa area.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I just wanted to focus on that just because this is like it's crazy what's going on right now.
Yeah.
A lot of other companies, not just theme parks. And yeah, so I noticed that this one was just a great opportunity for – cast members helping cast members, or
that's
just
awesome.
Park goers, park lovers who just want to help during this need right now. But yes, yeah, so you could visit them. And if you feel more comfortable, you could do some more of your own research on it before lending out a hand to help. But yeah, so
Castmember pantry.com. It'll take you to a Facebook group and you can find all the information there. And then like Michaela, you said, if you need help, you can reach out to castmemberpantry@gmail.com. Also, if you're facing food insecurity, you can also reach out to Feeding Tampa Bay, which we talked about, like you said, I think 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
They're a great organization too that helps with providing food to people and families in need. So don't be too proud to ask for help, because people want to help. And you know, you may need help this time, but somebody may need help next time. And it's all about pitching in and helping each other.
And this is a great opportunity to say that if you're a cast member, this is a great opportunity for you to go to, especially since there's other organizations that are focusing on the wide community that those who are laid off from Universal or other companies, that they can go to Feeding Tampa Bay or something closer to Orlando, that you could make sure you're not overwhelming one organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
For
so next
sure.
week we'll talk about another organization, but yeah. So this week, Cast Member Pantry.
Thank you for doing that research, Michaela. I appreciate it. All right, so anything else that you want to speak about before we wrap up this week?
Not at the moment, but...
No, lots of news, lots of fun stuff. So we want to thank our guest from this week, Winston McDaniel from Screamageddon. You know, visit their website for all the information on their event. Also, if you have questions about anything we talked about, visit the website of the specific parks to find out more information. And we thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. That way more people can find us, more theme park lovers can join in our theme park fun. And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Theme Parks Rec, and also on Facebook as well. Look for Theme Parks and Rec Podcast. And if you miss any episodes, you can always go back and check them out at the themeparksandrecpodcast.com website. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.